Thank you. I want to say thank you again for allowing us to come here today and to proclaim a portion of God's word. Thank you for your hospitality and the meals that you provided for us. I also want to commend you on the program Last of Leaders and Leaderettes. I know you started it a couple of years ago, I think, is what a gentleman told me. I want to commend you on that. It's the reason I went to preaching school and the reason I enjoy leading song and proclaiming the word of God is because I went through the same program and it helped me be a stronger and a better Christian. So I want to thank you for that. Do you remember the first time you saw on TV or maybe heard from a friend people having pigs as pets? I'm serious. I mean, all kind of different pigs. But pigs as pets? Pigs as pets in someone's house? Maybe you've heard the or seen the program World's Dirtiest Jobs. You see, this program is hosted by Mike Rowe. And what Mike does is he goes to all these different jobs just to see how dirty they are. I remember on one occasion, Mike, he went to this pig farm, and this was a big operation. I mean, these people had thousands of pigs. And I remember Mike standing in this pig pen. I remember him making comments of how it was just so smelly. It was degrading. Just nasty. I remember the comment he made towards the end of the show. He said it was the most disgusting place he had ever been. He said, I never want to go back to this pig pen. My lesson today is not to slop or not to slop in the house. On a serious note, let's consider some things about the swine family. What does Scripture have to say about pigs? Turn to me in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. Read with me verse 6. Matthew 7 and verse 6. Jesus says, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw away your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. You see, even as pigs have no appreciation for fine jewelry, there are those in the world that have no appreciation for the Word of God. They have no appreciation for truth. The Apostle Peter addresses the problem of people being converted and turning back to the world. He likens it to the proverb there in 2 Peter 2. In verse 22, he says, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. But so briefly with just these two passages, we see how the Bible considers swine. We see the Bible's thoughts on swine. But the primary passage for my lesson today is going to be taken from Luke chapter 15. So here in the 15th chapter of Luke, Jesus is telling the scribes and Pharisees three parables with the emphasis on the word lost. We first have the parable of the lost sheep. The second is the parable of the lost coin. And the third, which is the parable in consideration today, is the parable of the lost son. You see, the purpose of it was to set forth God's love toward the penitent. This parable has been called the crown and pearl of all parables. That's been spoken by our Lord Jesus. It's been considered one of the most beautiful stories that the Lord has ever told. You see, this parable is of the father of two sons. We will learn that the younger son's request to receive his portion of his inheritance, and we'll see what he will do with it. Obviously, we're going to learn that he wasn't mature enough to handle his inheritance, but he was apparently determined, wasn't he? We don't know what grandiose vision he may have had or what various reasons were given for his request. You see, the picture we get when we read this parable is a son saying to his father, I want off the farm. I want away from you. I want away from my family. I want to go live in the world. I want to live my own life. So for the next few moments, let's look at the life of this young son. Let's look at the steps he takes towards the pig pen. Read with me verses 11 through the first part of 13 in Luke chapter 15. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together, and he went on a journey in a distant country. You see, we first have the request for his portion. What anticipated this request, we do not know. Scripture does not tell us. How long had the son pondered upon this course of action? Have there been any differences in the brother and the father? Had some of his friends influenced his decision? You know, we simply don't know the questions to these the answers to these questions, but we do know he was determined. You see, he wanted to get away from home. He wanted to get away from the restrictions of his father, but he wanted his father to finance it. You could say he had a craving for false independence. He thought all the good things were in this other country. He was blinded by the blessings at hand. So the father, he honors his son's request. He gives him his portion. Does this remind us that doesn't God give us our portion? Doesn't God tell us what to do with our portion? But he never hinders the free will. So the young son, he takes his money, he packs all the stuff up, and he goes into this far country. Now, we don't know how far geographically this son went, but we know how far he went spiritually. We know how far he went morally. You see, the father, he could have held him back. The servants and the slaves, they could have grabbed a hold of him and said, "You're not going nowhere, buddy." But you see, that would have been treating him as a slave and not as a son. Compulsion wouldn't have changed his mind. Compulsion wouldn't have changed this son's heart. You see, the younger son was content in his ways. He was content to get away from that influence of his father. You know, like today, you know, most runaways, they're not content to go a few blocks or a few miles. Like the prodigal, they go into the far country. They want to get away from the influences and from the restraints of home. You know, they're like the prodigal son in that they make that deliberate decision to leave home, and for the same reasons, under the same circumstances. They leave home alone. They leave home unattended. They leave because they want to leave. They feel there's too many restrictions. It's because they have to give an accountability at home. It's because they hadn't learned the meaning of that word accountability, hadn't learned the meaning of that word responsibility. You see, whenever a person rejects God, he makes his life a mess. He will make consequences in his life that he's going to have to pay for whether he wants to or not. Galatians 6, 7 through 9, we learn that we will reap what we sow. True happiness doesn't come from what we want to do. It doesn't come from where we want to go. True happiness comes from worshiping God. True happiness comes from obeying God. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. So this son has gathered everything together. He's in this country. So let's view his life in this country. Read with me the rest of verse 13 on into verse 16. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything. He squandered his wealth with loose living. He had taken everything that his father had worked for. He had taken everything that his father had given him, and he spent every bit of it. He spent his money, he spent his strength, and he spent his fine manhood. You see, sin is a state of wastefulness. James 1:15, we learn that sin will snap a man's vitality. It will destroy his power. But when we say this young man was a prodigal son, when we say he was a lost son, what do we mean? You see, to me, in my opinion, this is probably one of the most important words in this chapter. You see, this is what gives light to this parable. This is what makes this son who he is and who he was. I know other translations use the word riotous and reckless and loose and prodigal. But what does this word mean? Well, it simply means what it says. It means he was a spendthrift. He was one who didn't save. He went to the limit of sinful excesses. It's because he squandered his wealth. He had spent it foolishly. Now, after he had spent all of his inheritance, now he begins to reap what he sows. A severe famine comes upon the land, and he began to be impoverished. Now, this wasn't an ordinary famine. Scripture says it was a severe famine. You see, a famine is an extreme scarcity of food, which can lead to extreme hunger or extreme starvation. You see, the prodigal, he's in want. He's alone. He's miserable. And who does he have to blame? He has no one to blame but himself. You know, like the prodigal, when one waste their physical, when one wastes their moral strength in sin, they will eventually come to want. Because away from God, away from God's people, the soul will starve to death. So now this prodigal son has ended up in this pig pen. He's here because he's desperate. He's here because he has lost all self-respect. He's starving. And for a Jew to be in a pig pen, taking care of swine, there's no greater humiliation for him. You know, in Leviticus 11:7, we learn that Jews thought the swine were unclean. I believe the attitude of the Jews in the first century was, may a curse come upon the man who cares for swine. But you see, the prodigal had gotten so low in society. He had hit rock bottom so hard that not only is he willing to take care of them, to be in the pen with them, but he's willing to eat with them. You know, when we think of feeding pigs, we do think of it as a dirty, a smelly, sometimes a degrading job. I mean, in all actuality, pig farming is a pretty honorable job, and we all like our good ham and our good bacon. So we all thank our pig farmers. Some people, of course, don't think that pork should be on anybody's diet. I mean, how long do you think it's going to be before they're objecting to pigskin in football games or in the basketball games? You see, the main thing to notice is this. The prodigal started out with a desire for freedom. He wanted to leave the bondage of home. He wanted to be free, but it soon led to his own slavery. It led to him being in want because he wasn't free anymore. A very wise man told me this quote one time, and I'll never forget it. It says, man is most free in the discovery that he is not free. Man is most free in the discovery that he is not free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 reads, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. You see, we understand we have freedom in Christ, but that freedom has boundaries. That freedom has restrictions. We can't use our freedom as an excuse or as an approach to go back to that pig pen. And down in that same chapter, verse 13, he says, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You see, the idea is that we have been called into the liberty of Christ. We can't live a life like the prodigal son. We can't live life sitting on the edge of the fence. We can't live a life for the world. What's John saying in 1 John 2, 15 through 17? He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You see, if we give those pigs a permanent wave, we won't be looking for that opportunity to go back into that pig pen. So having seen the life of the prodigal son, leaving home and in that far country, let's view his life returning home. Read with me Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 19. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. You see, this journey home began with the prodigal coming to himself. You see, this means that he sees things as they really are. You know, today, unfortunately, men don't always come to themselves until they hit rock bottom. But isn't it just the greatest moment when we see one come to themselves? When the heart is pricked, when the conscience is stirred, isn't it just the greatest moment? You see, we've got to understand that no man, no woman will repent until they come to themselves. This is the reason that godly sorrow works repentance. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. No other person can make one come to himself. This has to come from within, and until one comes to himself and acknowledges that he has sinned, that he has done foolish things, they will not repent. They will not change their mind. They will not change their actions. You see, the prodigal son realizes this, and he realizes that now he is considered lower than one of his father's servants. He has realized this devastating condition he's gotten himself into. It's been said that the memory is the lever of repentance. You see, when the memory of brighter and better days is awakened in the soul, this is when repentance begins its fine work. So the prodigal translates his determination into action. He says, I will get up and go to my father. Just as he had made a deliberate decision to leave the home, he's now made the same deliberate decision to return home. He repented. Repentance is a deliberate decision that is brought about by the change of the will or the mind. The prodigal had come to his senses. He had admitted that he had sinned against his father, and the best part, he didn't offer him any excuses. He had recognized that he was in that situation. He recognized that he had gotten himself into that nasty little pig pen because of his own actions, because of his own selfishness. You see, before he left home, he was arrogant. He was filled with his own self-pride. He wanted what would one day be his. Do you remember the parable of the two sons in Matthew 21? The first son said, I will not go to work. But later went. And the second son said, I'll go to work. I'm going to go, Father. But he never showed up. You see, that's what repentance is. Repentance is that difference between I will not and I will. And as far as Scripture can tell us, as far as we know, when that prodigal son left the pig pen, he left it for good. He had given those pigs a permanent way. And what a royal welcome he received when he returned home. Read with me the last few verses here, 20 through 24. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, let us eat, and let us celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found, and they begin to celebrate. What possibility suggested in the fact that the father saw his son a long way off? Does this not mean that the father was looking, longing and hoping for his return? And you notice when he saw him, he didn't stand there and wait for that son to come to him. What's this father do? This father, probably in his old age, runs, embraces his son, and kisses him. You see, the son's ragged, half-starved condition made no difference to his father. Perhaps you can recall, you know, when you returned home after coming to yourself. Perhaps you were in the same situation just as the prodigal son was. You were living in the world lost. And then you came running back to the father. How many times have we seen this story repeated time and time again? There are pig pens of every description, waiting the unsuspecting. Brethren, we'll all do well to remember the saying, man is most free when he recognizes that he is not free. The request or the want to be free can often lead to slavery. Truly, it is a great moment when one can so come to themselves that they give those pigs a permanent way. That they give the world of sin the permanent way. There's a couple of songs, older songs, that we sing in our songbook sometimes. One verse goes, dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. And another one says, then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. Isn't it great to see people turn to the Lord and wave goodbye to that world? You see, the course of their life is set and they are determined to serve the Lord. They are determined to live for the Lord. Yet, along the way, there's going to be battles to be fought within each heart. So daily, the will must be strengthened, the resolve renewed, and that wave repeated. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. We read, "But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." In the hour of temptation, remember those words of Paul. When the pressures of society and the world around us dishearten us, when we're ready to quit, when we're ready to just give up Christianity, when we're ready to just stop coming to church, remember who's at work. Remember who never misses a day at work. Satan never misses work. Folks, the truth of the matter is that none of us are ever very far from the pig pen. Pig pens are all around us, and we don't need to go far to slop in them. In fact, unless we guard our own hearts, unless we guard our own Christianity, then there is a danger of becoming our own pig pen. Proverbs 4:23 reads, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Running with your eye on the goal does not allow for looking back to the pig pen. In modern terms, you can't soar with the eagles while running with the turkeys. I challenge us all, brethren, to always give sin that permanent wave. Always give the pigs a permanent wave. Thank you.